Let's speak for one another, Mr. Steve Mayo, to speak upon that wonderful subject. And to you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his beams. Brother Steve.
My dearly beloved brethren and sisters, friends and young people, this weekend, thus far, we have considered the first three chapters of Malachi, and to finish off our studies this weekend, we now plan to conclude with some thoughts from this fourth and last chapter of the prophecy. Just to summarize, in chapter 1, we saw yesterday through the words of Brother Matthew that the main theme there is a call to Israel in view of their present sins. That was the sins of the people between approximately 500 and 400 BC. We have seen that in chapter 2, this is a summary, as Brother Arthur brought to our attention, of the privilege and responsibilities of the priests and their separateness unto Yahweh. We saw in chapter 3 this morning a summary to which was a call, to Israel in view of impending judgment. And during our part this afternoon, we will conclude by looking at that approaching day of redemption. That was how the book is split. This is how this particular chapter is split. We have the declaration of judgment against sin in verse 1, the elevation of the righteous, verses 2 and 3, a warning from the past, verse 4, and the coming work of Elijah the prophet, verses 5 and 6. Now, brethren and sisters, the previous chapter ends, and actually we would suggest that if there was a specific section in this book, it would be from the 16th verse of the third chapter, the 16th verse of the third chapter, to the 6th verse of the fourth chapter. Chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of armies, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Full stop. And then we have, "For behold." For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. They are the words which conclude the third chapter. And then at the start of the fourth, we have, "For behold." The prophet now turns his attention to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. The day cometh. Which day cometh? Psalm 96 verse 3 says, "Before Yahweh, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." Consistent with this, in the New Testament, Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Brethren and sisters and young people, the day the Apostle Paul speaks of is the day of Christ's coming, which Malachi speaks of in the third chapter, verse 2. "But who may abide," the prophet says, "the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth?" Who shall stand when he appeareth in the day of his coming? Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, we read, "Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." We have in this fourth chapter of Malachi the term "shall burn as an oven." Rotherham renders "oven" as "furnace." Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 24 says, "For Yahweh thy Elohim is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." There are many people throughout the world that think of God as a God of love, and God is a God of love. But as one of our pioneering brethren wrote, God is love, but he's not all love. He is also a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 verses 28 to 29, "Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Yahweh is both sun and shield, and he is here manifested as such, as he is in Psalm 84, which reads verses 10 and 11, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh Elohim is a sun and shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." The sun is used for destroying the wicked, the shield for defending and preserving the righteous. The sun, in this second verse, is manifested as a furnace. When we think of a furnace, we think of a chamber which is intensely hot, used in days gone by and in our current days for smelting. I went to an incinerator once where they incinerated sanitary waste and nappy waste, and the men and women who worked there were subject to strict controls under health and safety, because if you stayed within the building for too long, you would be liable to pass out through heat exhaustion. Anyone who has ever driven past Port Albert Steelworks will have seen the fire and smoke belching out of the chimney pots as you drive by. Such is the ferocity and intensity of Yahweh's judgments to be poured out upon the nations. Those who are subject unto his judgments shall indeed see the manifestation of Yahweh as a consuming God. We said that God is love, but not all love. And this is an important principle to bear in mind. God has many characteristics. He is a God of love, but he is also a God of war, or a man of war, for he will manifest himself through men and women here on earth to execute his will in bringing about the judgments upon the wicked nations. In this verse, then, we have displayed the tremendous power and character of the sun. Psalm 21, verse 9 and 10 says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Yahweh shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men." And we see this message, brethren and sisters and young people, consistently applied throughout scriptural testimony. Isaiah Chapter 66, verses 15 and 16, we read, "For behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many." And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27, we read, "Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire." The proud are mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 15. And in the day of judgment and the outpouring of Yahweh's wrath, not one will envy the proud and the wicked. Verse 18 of chapter 3 shows us that Israel will discern that life and well-being is the character of happiness, can only be attained through worshipping Yahweh in spirit and in truth. John 4 says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Yes, the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is a New Testament quote. The same is true of the Old Testament. The same principle applies. At the second chapter of Isaiah we read, verses 12 and 17, "For the day of Yahweh of armies shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day." Isaiah chapter 40, verses 23 to 24, "That bringeth the princes to nothing," we read. "He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble." Stubble. Stubble, verse 1 of Malachi chapter 4. The proud, happy, they shall become stubble. Literally, the word means straw. They shall become as straw. Quite often, brethren and sisters and young people, the thing that man values and esteems appears outwardly to be sound and solid. Yet when put to the test, their things prove only to be straw. Nahum chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "What do ye imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry." And Obadiah, verse 18, "And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh hath spoken it." And Matthew 3, verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Verse 1, root nor branch. If we were to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, we would see that this denotes total destruction. Brother Thomas, in Eureka, volume 1, says, "And when this coming is manifested, the ark of God's testament is seen, and there are lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. These judgments make the day a dreadful one, and as Malachi testifies, a day burning as an oven, in which the proud and wicked doers of the epoch shall be destroyed as stubble, and neither root nor branch of them be left behind. This total and utter extirpation, which means destruction of the world's rulers, is attributed to the saints both by Malachi and John in their post-resurrectional operations. Malachi predicts their resurrection in these words, saying, "And to you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his beams, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Being thus raised, the work they have to do is expressed in the words, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do it, saith Yahweh of armies." So, the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole mission, revolves around subduing and healing the nations. Verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4, "You that fear my name." Luke chapter 1 verse 50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And the psalmist says, "Teach me thy way, O Yahweh, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." And then we're introduced in verse 2 to the Son of Righteousness. There are many different aspects to this verse. Jesus Christ, anointed with power, shall come as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his beams. The whole mission of Christ in setting up his kingdom is to subdue and heal, and he will heal the nations in a way which only a divine hand could achieve. It will be with absolute power and absolute authority. The sun has this aspect of burning up, but it also has another aspect of healing. In this aspect, it is the healing power we are dealing with. We'll remember Joseph's dream of the sun and moon bowing down to him together with the 11 stars. The moon and stars are the type, are the bride of Christ in type, who will lighten the new heavens and the new earth, and they will lighten it gloriously. 2 Peter 3 verse 13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And the prophet of Isaiah says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." So even here in this verse, the prophet draws our attention to the healing aspect of the sun. The saints and the Lord Jesus Christ will dispel the darkness and gloom of a long and tragic night, and will bring sanity, justice, righteousness, and mercy to a world in need. But so blinded by the present darkness, the people do not realize this need. But the Lord Jesus Christ will characterize the righteousness that shall be taught. Jeremiah 23rd chapter says, "Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, Yahweh our righteousness." And Isaiah 33 verses 5 and 6, "Yahweh is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, the fear of Yahweh is his treasure." We have the same mentioned in 2 Samuel. "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me with an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Back to the psalmist, 110 verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. And finally on this point, Proverbs 4. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And here then, brethren and sisters, in the scriptures we have this contrast of the darkness of the Egyptian world, the world of wickedness and evil, and a world not blessed, compared and contrasted to the righteous who shine forth as the light of the sun. The sun, the sun's rays, provides warmth, resulting in good health, light, and beauty. We know for sure that we get vitamin D from the sun, and we also know that a lack of sun causes depressive illnesses, such as SAD or SAD. Spiritually, as the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, it will be the Lord Jesus Christ that will provide for the nations, driving away the darkness of the Gentile night and driving away with it the power of the Gentiles. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." And this is the current situation, is it not, in the Gentiles? "But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And so again, from a scriptural perspective, we see that the gross darkness that currently covers the earth, which we all witness and experience and live in today, is not the time that God has promised when Jesus Christ shall be the King over an earth of peace, when people shall know God and love him. But that time, as we can see from these prophecies, has been promised. Hosea says, "Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." Verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4. Wings, the word literally means an edge of extremity. That's what the word literally means, an edge of extremity. But it is derived from a word meaning to project laterally. And therefore the inference is beams emanating from the sun. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 4 from the Revised Standard Version says, "His brightness was like the light, rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power." Back to verse 2, "Go forth." The multitudinous Christ body, brethren and sisters and young people, will become the vehicle in which the divine judgments will be manifested. In your own time, look up Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 14 and 17. The cherubim of glory, the vehicle of motion, executing God's work in the earth. And Psalm 104, verses 3 to 4. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of power." Verse 2 says of chapter 4, As calves of the stall. These animals were healthy, they were strong, and they were well cared for. Amos chapter 6 verse 4 says, "That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall." Proverbs says, chapter 15 verse 17, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." The statement that there shall be no herds in the stall from Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 denotes calamity. It denotes disaster. It's Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17. "Their hooves were shod with metal plates for threshing out the corn at the time of harvest. And then we have Micah chapter 4. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto Yahweh, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Verse 3, they will tread down the wicked. The psalmist says, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Back to verse 3. Ashes, continuing the symbology. The wicked having been burnt up by the power of the sun's rays, incinerated, obliterated, destroyed. Then the prophet goes on to say, of Yahweh, I shall do this. Let us note, brethren and sisters, that it is not by the will of man, neither by the will of the flesh, but by the will of the eternal Spirit, as can be seen from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Where we read, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh of armies. Verse 4, the law of Moses. The law would continue to be a schoolmaster until Christ came, Galatians 3 verses 24 and John 5 verse 47. The Israelites should especially continue to heed the blessings and cursings of the law alluded to by Malachi. And let us remember at this point in history, without the law and the prophets, Israel were without light. We won't turn it up, but Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Jews, brethren and sisters, will more fully appreciate these words when the kingdom age dawns as a modified form of the law of Moses will be reinstated and reinstituted. Let us look at a few quotations in this regard. Deuteronomy chapter 30 we'll start with. And Yahweh thy Elohim will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And Yahweh thy Elohim will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of Yahweh, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, which is a prophecy of the future. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And Isaiah 42, verse 21, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. So the law, we cannot have a kingdom without there being an element of law, and the law that will be reinstituted will be the law of Moses, in the same way as God taught the nation of Israel of old time. The next quote is from Isaiah 56, verses 5 and 7. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahweh, to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants. Every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. And this, brethren and sisters and young people, is truly a wonderful prophecy. it gives us a wonderful vision of the future. For if we look around us in the nations today, then really the things that people worship are idolatry in real terms. And yet when the kingdom of God shall be established and the law reinstituted, there will be a situation where the people, the strangers of other nations, they will bring their offerings up to the mountain of Yahweh, and their sacrifices for sin shall be accepted upon mine altar, says Yahweh. Next one is Isaiah 66. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Picture that time, brethren and sisters, when all peoples from all nations, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come unto Yahweh to worship before him. Finally, on this point, Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yahweh our righteousness. For thus saith Yahweh, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Another prophecy of the future age. Verse 4, if we may go back there in Malachi chapter 4. My servant. Why the emphasis on my servant? Numbers 12, verse 7, we're not going to turn it up, says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, is the Son of God. But if we contrast this statement with that of chapter 3, verse 14, let us go there, if we may, pick up our Bibles just for a moment, to chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of armies? Was Moses of that category? Did Moses ever ask, was it all in vain? No, Moses, brethren and sisters, was not of that category. And although imperfections were, as we know, revealed in his life, he appears in the scriptures as one of the greatest examples of dedication to the truth and walking by faith. Moses was indeed characterized in the scriptures as the servant of Yahweh. Elijah the prophet is the next section of that verse. The New Testament references to this verse shows that it still awaits fulfillment, although John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Let us go to Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. As such, John gave a primary fulfillment to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. That is John the Baptist. But he was not the Elijah spoken of in this verse. Let us take note of these following four important references. The Lord Jesus said that John could have become the Elijah had they received him nationally. Our first quote is Matthew 11. Verse 12 to 18. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil or a demon. The Jews, brethren and sisters and young people, did not receive him nationally, as can be seen from Mark chapter 6, verses 18 to 29, which is the record of John the Baptist's death. John unequivocally denied that he was Elijah in John 1, verse 21. Doubtless he was aware of the prophecy to which the question is referred. It was later, after the tragic death of John, that the Lord Jesus made it clear that Elijah indeed comes and will restore all things. Matthew 17, verse 11 in the Diaglot says, He answering said, Elijah indeed comes and will restore all things. Elijah's word to the 10 tribes remained unfinished in 1 Kings chapter 18. And he will be manifested, brethren and sisters and young people, to Israel abroad. And no doubt this will be in association with many of the resurrected and glorified prophets to turn the heart of Jewry towards their Messiah. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Jeremiah is the next one on this point that we would like to look at. Behold, says the prophet, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. A wonderful prophecy of the return of the Jews back to their land, and they shall be situated there as God's chosen people, and they shall become the blessed of all the nations, the chiefest, and no longer the tail. Ezekiel says, As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod of correction, that is, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And Ezekiel, this time in the 36th chapter, says, But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen or nations whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen or nation shall know that I am Yahweh, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Israel will be gathered to the land under conditions of great trial, and under conditions of great opposition from the Gentiles, with the rebels or faithless being purged out, as we see in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 to 38. They will literally, brethren and sisters, fight their way back to the land, Micah 5, verse 8, and Micah 7, verses 14 to 18. And in faith they shall do this, in faith that Yahweh is their deliverer. A call will have gone forth from Jerusalem for the nations to acknowledge Christ and for the Jews to return. Only Jewry will at first acknowledge Christ and for the Jews to return. Only Jewry will at first acknowledge this call. Isaiah 18 verse 3, Isaiah 27 verse 13, and the Apocalypse chapters 14 verse 6. And Jewry's response? No question, resulting from this work of preparation in their midst, conducted by Elijah and his immortalized assistants, they will return to the land from the north and the south. Isaiah 11, our time is running out, so we're going to run through this real quick. There's only a few more verses that we would like to look at. Isaiah 11, verses 11 to 16. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign. And we know that an ensign is a token or emblem of authority. It's what was put on the front of many warships during the world wars. Token of authority for the nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dryshod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Hosea has plenty to say on this regathering. We're going to start, just going to look at two quotations from Hosea, the 11th chapter and the 2nd chapter. We'll start with the second one. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me for ever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. What a wonderful picture then, brethren and sisters, that indeed Yahweh's mercy endureth forever. So despite the fact that they rejected Malachi's call and reminder back to holiness, they will be, as a nation, regathered out of the four corners of the earth. And Yahweh indeed shall yoke himself unto them once again as his people and holy nation. Hosea 11 verse 9, I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after Yahweh. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith Yahweh. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. The last point in this connection that we would like to look at is Zechariah 10, verses 7 to 12. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in Yahweh, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith Yahweh. A reinvigorated, spiritually united Israel through the work of Elijah and the saints, they will become resettled in the land in the tribal order specifically shown by the prophet Ezekiel and in his 48th chapter. And they shall be ruled by the apostles, as we see in Matthew 19, verse 28. They will become Yahweh's army, and they will be Yahweh's army under the guidance of his saints, Zechariah 10, verse 3, for the purpose of bringing the nations, brethren and sisters, into subjection, for the subjugation indeed of all Gentile nations, Zechariah 9, verse 13. Their past blindness will be admitted, and it will have that humbling effect upon the whole surviving nation of Israel. Zechariah 13 verse 9 says, And I will bring the third part through the fire. So two-thirds of them will be destroyed, but the third part shall be brought through the fire. It will refine them as silver is refined, that intense heat that Brother Robert was speaking of this morning, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people. And they shall say, Yahweh is my God. And Zechariah 12, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. What wonderful prophecies, brethren and sisters. What a wonderful vision that we have. A wonderful picture of the future age. And this is also continued through Psalm 110. Yahweh said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. When Elijah goes forth, brethren and sisters, out into the nations to call them back to the land, then thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Mine anger was kindled, says the prophet Zechariah, against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. The Yahweh of armies hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight. And their success? Yahweh is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. This then is a point that we do well to note. We, in our day and generation, must experience and learn that which Israel will experience and learn shortly. We are being tried as silver and purged as gold. We are sojourning through the wilderness on our way to the kingdom of God. We should therefore be developing character and faith in harmony with Yahweh's law, that we may be fitted for positions of authority in the kingdom. We have, brethren and sisters, a wonderful vision. Isaiah the prophet, at his 11th chapter, paints this wonderful picture of the ferocious beasts being converted to beasts that are no longer ferocious. We read, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. There will be this house of prayer for all nations, and as we read, all peoples of all nations shall willingly go up to the sanctuary of Yahweh. The current chaos in the earth and all that distracts us from godly things in this our day and generation, crime and all of the bad politics that go on today, shall be a thing of the past. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. At the end of the 1,000 years there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Remember that verse that we read in Isaiah 66 verse 23, It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Let us then, brethren and sisters, in concluding our thoughts, both for this afternoon and for our study weekend, follow the advice of the King. In Proverbs 7 we read, My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, Thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And so the questions that we have to ask ourselves, young and old. Are we responsible? Are we baptized? If the answer is yes, then the big question for each and every one of us is, will we, brethren and sisters, abide the day of his coming? Are we responsible to the truth, but unbaptized? The door of opportunity is about to close for this epoch. Malachi's message was urgent. Let us choose then to fear Yahweh's name and step aside from the ways of the wicked. Yahweh indeed is not mocked.